Hebrews chapter 10 tonight, and we'll try to follow the Lord the best we can. Hebrews chapter 10. If you're able and would like to stand as we read the Word of God, I'm going to begin reading in verse 37. And we'll read down to 39. The Bible said, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Would y'all read with me verse 39? Would you read with me? You ready? "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Father, in Jesus' name, we honor you tonight. And Lord, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Dear Lord, that we serve a Savior that is able to keep us. Dear Lord, He was able to die for our sins. He's the only one that could go to Calvary. His blood was the only blood that could be shed for the remission of our sin. We're praying, Lord, tonight that if there's one in our midst that knows you not, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would convict them and draw them to repentance, Lord, that they might be saved tonight. We're asking, Lord, if one of your people tonight, one of your saved, one of your children are here tonight, and maybe they're just not where they need to be with you, I pray your Spirit would draw them back to you. Help me for a few minutes, Lord, just to exalt Jesus and exalt what you did for us on Calvary. And I want to thank you again, Lord, for this grand privilege of being here, Lord. It's an heaven-brought privilege. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for calling us. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray, dear Lord, for Brother Boone as he pastors, as he leads. I pray for this congregation that they'll follow. And dear Lord, that souls will come into the flock and be saved. And we'll thank you, Lord, tonight for what that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for standing. I want to preach a little thought tonight on this thought. We are not of them. We're not of them. The writer of Hebrews, and I'm telling you, Hebrews is a great book. The Bible, or at least we as preachers, and as we teach the book of Hebrews, it's a book of betters. There's a lot of betters in the book of Hebrews. And I want to say tonight, it's getting better and better and better. It's getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. It's getting near and near and near. Our home is nearer than it was. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm not of them. If you'll notice in the 39th verse, "But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition." Let me say just a minute, a word about this word perdition. As I was, before Brother Daniel asked me to come up, my mind was going back to some people that I have known down through the years. And the word perdition in this text, it means a place of waste. That's what it means. Going back to waste. You know, I'm glad that my Lord didn't waste any blood. Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad that there wasn't any blood wasted on Calvary. But I was thinking about people who maybe had made professions of faith. They had confessed Christ and they went back to the old life of waste. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things we can waste today. In our home, we don't waste food. You can tell by looking at me, there's not very much thrown out. Amen. I mean, that's just something we don't do. We don't waste food. I eat leftovers. Amen. I don't like to waste food. There's some things, though, you can waste. There's a lot of waste in our society today. I mean, just a lot of things, a lot of money being wasted today. But I'll say this tonight, our Lord never wasted any of His blood. Amen. I'm glad that every drop of blood, someone said it took all, and it did. It took all the blood of Christ to save us. But I thought about folk that had went through the ceremony of being saved and through baptism and yet ended up in what we look like or what we might say, they fell back into the gutter. I can name folk tonight. I'm sure this preacher can name some tonight. Most of those people don't live very long if they're truly saved. I almost said I've had the privilege to preach their funerals, but that's not the right word. I've had to preach some funerals, and I really believe that they were saved people, but they went back to the life of waste. They went back to the life of sin. I'm telling you, once you've been saved, and you're not chastised when you sin, the Bible said you're a bastard and not a son. You're illegitimate in the family of God. There's one thing I found out, that I can't sin and enjoy it. I still sin, but I don't enjoy it. And I'm glad the Holy Spirit comes in my heart, convicts me, and I can confess my sin. And as the old preacher said, it's just as if I had never sinned. I thank God, amen, for salvation. I want to talk to you just a minute on this thought. But before I get to this on we're not of them, I want to, and there's many ways that you and I know that we're saved. There's a lot of ways that we know that we're saved. I want to name three of them. On three ways that each of you here tonight can rest assured that you're saved. Now, I know many of you have already settled that a long time ago. You know for sure that you're saved. But you know what I'm finding out today? There's a lot of people really, really not certain if they died that they'd go to heaven. Boy, that's something that needs to be settled in every believer's life. If something happens that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord. I want to give you three things about three ways you can know that you are saved. First of all, anybody remember what I preached on last night? Amen. I preached on the book. Somebody said it. Amen. You can know you're saved by what the Bible said. I'm not saved by being hit by a great bolt of lightning. Oh, although sometimes what rushes through me is better than a bolt of lightning. Amen. I kind of like it myself. I'm not saved by crying. I'm not saved by being baptized. I'm not saved by any religious work or affiliated with any religious organization. But I'm saved by what thus saith the Word of God. What thus saith the Bible. I'm not even saved by feeling. Amen. But I'm telling you, it feels good to be saved. Amen. To know Jesus Christ as my Savior. You can know that you're saved by the Bible. Recently, there was two ladies. Brother John knows who they are. I love them dearly. They have become good friends of ours. And they started coming. The mother got the daughter to come. The daughter got the sister, the mother to come. And since then, both of those ladies have made assurance that they're saved. And I'll tell you how I dealt with those ladies, especially the daughter, because she was so insecure. I dealt with her like she'd never, ever been saved. And I said, let's settle this thing. Let's just get right and just settle it. What thus saith the word of the Lord. You say, how simple is it? Can I read it to you? The Bible said in Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Boy, nail that one down. The Bible says, if you'll believe, you can be saved. I'm glad what the Word of God said. It's not even what the preacher says. You know, so many times we want to convince people that they are saved when truly they're not saved. I mean, there's a reason that they're not sure that they're saved. And I've stopped this stuff of trying to say, well, did you feel right when you made you perfect? Did you feel better? It has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with believing Jesus Christ and this book. And by the way, salvation's the most important thing that any of us have ever done. It's the most important decision we've ever made. It's not our jobs. It's not even picking a mate. It's the most important decision that we've ever made was the decision to trust Jesus Christ as our Lord. And I'm so glad that I've trusted Him. So I believe the Bible would be number one. Three ways, you know, you're saved. There's many ways. I'm just going to name three of them tonight. The Word of God, the Bible, the book, assures us that we're saved. But then, His Spirit.
Amen.
His Spirit. There's nothing like the Holy Spirit of God. I'm amazed at how He works. I'm amazed at how He speaks. How do you know you're saved? By the Spirit. The Word of God teaches me. Let me give you this little verse. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm telling you, He'll come to you at night when the bottom of your world just fell out. Amen. He'll come to you when the world is caving in and when the only way, when you're so low and Satan has you down so low and then he's got his foot on you and the only way that you can look is up, he'll come to you and thank God he'll pick you up.
Amen.
I don't know how many times he's done that and he's assured me that I'm his child. I'm glad for the Holy Spirit, aren't you? I can know I'm saved because His Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I'm His child. Amen. Amen. Did I do anything to deserve it? I'm going to tell you, the night I got saved, I wasn't looking for Jesus. I'd not been a good man. I'd not been a good young man. I wasn't good. Nothing good about me. I was lost and dying and going to hell. I didn't deserve what He gave me. But I'm so thankful. I'm thankful He brought me out of the wasteland and brought me into His glory land. Amen. And we're going home to His land one day. We're going to heaven, that place that He's created for us. Isn't that a blessing? Number one, the Bible. We can have assurance through what the Word of God says. We have assurance through what the Holy Spirit says. I want to take a little time right here. And if you would, follow me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is another assurance of salvation. How do you know that you're saved? How can I know that I am saved? I'm glad that we can know that we're saved. The third thing is when the Lord truly, and I'm going to use the word truly, saves us. I understand that sometimes we're criticized for saying that because you're either saved or lost. I mean, that's how it is. There's no in-between. But when a person is born again, let me say this, your life will change. Your life will change. And this is where we take our text, and I want everybody to read this. It's simple. I guarantee from this pulpit, Brother Boone has read it hundreds of times. He's quoted it many, many times. That's the 17th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I don't know about you, but when I look at the glory life, when I look at the life that Christ has given me, it's so much better than the old life. Amen. It's so much better than the old life. Your life will change. You'll become more attentive to the things of God. Your life will reflect And you'll all of a sudden want to begin to honor the one that has just saved you. You'll begin to have a craving for the Word of God, and you'll begin to crave the house of God, and you'll begin to want to do things for the Lord. Your life will change. What happened to Apostle Paul? And they didn't come any lower and meaner than Saul of Tarsus. And he had pride. He was so educated. He was the most educated man of his day. His birthright caused him to be the hierarchy, amen, of the Jews. I mean, he had everything that Satan could use toward the church. And Paul was doing it. The Bible said he played havoc with the church. The word havoc means hell. He gave the church of the living God hell. That's what he did. He'd arrest the Christians. He'd take them out. But one day, on the road to Damascus, amen, the Holy Spirit found Saul of Tarsus. Amen. Amen. And what did he do? He saved him that day. Amen. And that God hater, that church hater, that Christian hater became a Lord lover. He began to love his Lord, and he began to love people. And if you study who Paul went after, he went after those that wanted to be saved. He preached the Word of God and those that needed to be saved. And he went after those that he loved his church, no matter how hard it got for Paul. Brother Boone and I were talking about that yesterday, all the trials that came into Paul's life, the shipwrecks, the beatings, the imprisonments, and all of that. And then he said, the burden of all the churches, but he said, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. He said, for me to live, for me to die, is gain. Oh, listen. Your life will change. A changed life. All of us are tempted, are we not? I believe that. Things that I might be strong in, you're weak in. Things that you're strong in, I'm weak in, but we're all tempted. But I can no longer sin and enjoy sin without the conviction of the Spirit of God. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? But you can know you're saved tonight by the Bible. You can know you're saved by the Holy Spirit. You can know you're saved because your life has changed, and you love Jesus. I realize we're living in a time when Christians stand out. We stand out for many reasons. We stand out for one thing, we love this book, and we take a stand upon this book. By the way, this is not a hate book as our government says it is. I don't know how many of you know it. I'm going to go ahead and say this on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, and I hope we'll pray. All of us will begin praying. There's four states, Kentucky, Ohio, Michigan, and Tennessee, that has caused the Supreme Court to convey and hear about what is marriage. The reason... What is marriage? I believe it's a man and woman.
Amen.
I believe it's what God ordained in this Bible. These states would not give in to the leaders of their states and said, no. You're not going to do like our attorney general did here in Virginia and said, we're just going to drop and say it's legal. It's okay to do it. These four states held out. You might hear about it. You might not hear about it. Fox News may carry it. I don't know. Well, the mainstream. But they're meeting this Tuesday to hear the case of what is marriage. And they're going to decide. What are they, 20 people? The judges that's in America, 20 Supreme Court judges, about 20 of them or something like that. They're going to decide for, what is the population of marriage? 380 million, something like that. I don't know. I had no idea. Let's just say there's that many. Amen. But 20 people's going to decide that. Boy, I'll tell you what, we just need to know we're saved so we can get on our knees and pray.
Amen.
Pray for our country. Pray for what's right. Amen. Listen, I don't hate a person on this earth. Not one person. There's not a murderer I hate. There's not an adulterer. I hate there's not a drunk. There's not a dope addict. That fella yesterday that came by, one of them was a driving, the other one laying over. I mean, he was conked out on something. I mean, I know he was. My heart broke. I had to tell him I was preaching a meeting at Valley View, and I would have loved for him to join us here. Amen. I would. I don't hate the homosexuals. I don't hate them. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I've preached against alcohol for near 40 years now, 39 years. Every Sunday, I preach on drinking, dope. Amen. Because I know what it does. But boy, they're about to say you can't preach on that sin. Amen. And I am plumb off my message. Amen. I am. I've done got plumb off my thought. But you know what? We need to know we're saved so we can get on our knees and get a hold of God for our country, for our children, and for our grandchildren.
Amen.
For our grandchildren and our children.
Amen.
That they won't be raised in this wasteland, perdition that the Bible said. Lord, have mercy. Never dreamed we'd ever have a day like this. And I'll tell you, our life will change. Our life will change. One of the leading Presbyterians in our community, Lois and I was out the other day, we were having lunch, and I knew his son well. His son came to my church for a long time. And I knew his son well, and I had met him a time or two. This man's 50 years old probably, 55 years old. And he came over to our table, and he just grabbed him a chair and just slid right in with us. And just got to talking. "Preacher Les, how you doing?" He said, "I've been visiting some Baptist churches." I said, "You have?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "The link of the Presbyterians that I belong to have ordained all this sinful stuff." That's how he put it. He said, "Man, I'm not happy." And of course, he visited with me a while back. It's been a year or so back. And I said, "Well, you need to come on back over Central if you're visiting Baptist churches. And we'd be love to have you." But who'd ever thought we'd be living in a time like this? I want to finish this just in a minute. But folks, we need to know for sure that we're saved. I was a salesman for a long, long time. I worked and I pastored for almost 20 years. I loved what I did. I sold Coca-Colas for 5 years. That's where I surrendered to preach. I was in a, I didn't have any of this planned tonight, what I'm saying. But you know what? Back then, you'd set 5 cases of full Cokes off and you'd pick up 20 cases of empties. And I was in an old, dirty, sticky bottle room. That's what we called them. I was sorting my bottles from the Pepsi bottles and the Canada Dry bottles, getting all my Coke products together. And right then there, God had been dealing with me a year. And I surrendered, Brother Richardson, to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I'll preach your word." That's what I told him. He'd been dealing with me. My wife had been saved. A couple years before that, he'd been dealing with my heart to preach. And I told him that I'd preach. And I was selling Cokes when I surrendered to preach. I went on to sell potato chips for 10 years. Amen. Dentists loved me. I mean, they really did. And then I got in the cookie business for almost 15 years. Had my own cookie round, sold cookies, sweets. And I've caused a lot of little kids to have cavities and stuff like that. I even tried selling water softeners. And I meant to tell you that story up there the other day. And on a part-time basis, a man had hired me, and another fellow. But I never could sell water softeners because I didn't believe they worked. Now I know they work. Amen. I could sell water softeners now. Amen. And I love being a salesman. But I said this. I had to believe in my product. When I was on the chip route, and I'm just wandering a little bit. Let me wander here for a minute. You do that when you know. And they put me on a little old route downtown Bristol. All it had on it was beauty shops and car garages. One little supermarket. And I said, "How am I going to make a living in these beauty shops? How am I going to make a living? These car garages. How am I going to make a living? Have that one little supermarket. That's all I got. And I just worked on commission. Didn't sell. Didn't live. Didn't eat. And so I found out that we had an oatmeal cake that was superb. It was the best oatmeal cake, brother, I'd ever eat. It really was. And you know what I got to doing? Was selling everybody oatmeal cakes. And I said, I believe if you'll try this cake and if you'll put it out, this oatmeal cake, I believe it'll really sell. I had beauty shops selling 5 boxes a week of oatmeal cakes. 60 oatmeal cakes a week out of beauty shops. And that route went up. And the reason I did that is because I believed in my oatmeal cake. And when we really know that we're saved by the grace of God, we're going to tell him, we're going to tell the world, we're going to tell our neighbors that, you know what, I really enjoy what I'm doing. I really enjoy going to church. It's not a dread for me to get up on Sunday morning, come Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's not a dread to come to the house of God. I believe in that. And when we have the joy of the Lord in our heart, when we can convince people that we're saved, that's what we need, is to convince people and believe in what we're doing. Amen. Believe in what we're doing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Man, I've got to hurry. I don't know why the Lord led that way, but that's okay, isn't it? I think we really, really need to believe in the Lord Jesus and what he did for us on Calvary. Amen, I do. We're not of them, the Bible said, who draw back into perdition. We're not of them that's going back. We're not of those that's going back to waste. We're going to go forward for Christ until he comes. Let's set in our mind tonight that we're going on for Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's put our smile on our face. Let's put a Holy Ghost step in our walk and do what Jesus has asked us to do. Let me give you these real hurriedly. First of all, I'm not of them because I believe in a prepared body. I want you to notice in verse 5 of the same chapter, Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible said, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. The sweetest service of 52 Sundays a year is the Sunday night before Easter when my church comes together and we partake of the Lord's Supper. It's the sweetest service of the year. We sing a song and then we partake of the Lord's body by faith. Amen. I'm glad he was willing to give his body, aren't you? Amen. I'm glad he was willing to come and die for your sins and for my sins and for the God-haters of this world and the sinners of this world. And listen, I'm glad he was willing to come. The Bible said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Our Lord came as man, but yet he was God. He came as God, but yet he was man. And he was willing to go to Calvary and shed his blood in his body for you and for me. We believe in a prepared body. We're not those that draw back. We're not those that go back into perdition. Not those that go back into waste. But unto them that believe to the saving of the soul. Not only do we believe in a prepared body, but thank God we believe in a perfect book. No mistakes in this book. Isn't that wonderful? No mistakes. Look in verse number 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. I tell you what, I'm thankful for the Bible, aren't you? I'm glad for the Word of God. I'm glad it is a perfect book. The Word of God said in Hebrews 4 and verse number 12. Let me read that just a minute. You know this. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You find another book that can do that. I heard just this past week, someone was telling me, I don't think it's any of you, I don't think it's Brother Boone, someone was telling me they had a $1 million home. That home burnt to the ground. Burnt to the ground. The only thing in it didn't burn, they found an old King James Bible. And that's the truth, amen. Every who told me that, they're accredible for what they said. It didn't burn. I don't understand that. I can't explain that. But I'm glad for the book, amen. Amen. And we're not those that go back unto partition, not those that go back unto waste. We believe in a prepared body. We believe in a perfect book. Thank God we believe in the precious blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. I don't know how many of y'all remember back in the 60s. I was in high school, late 60s, early 70s. And the mainline media got a hold of us, the born-again people. We that preach being born again. We that preach the blood. And if you remember, and I remember it well, they'd come on the news and they would call this the new slaughterhouse religion. That's what they called it. Well, I'll tell you, my Savior went to Calvary's cross and He shed His blood. Call it whatever you want to call it. But I believe in the precious blood, don't you? It's the only blood that can take us to heaven. It's a powerful blood. It's a pure blood. It's God's blood. Amen. It's a blood that cleanses forever. Oh, what a blessing it is to have the blood of Christ. The Bible said there in verse 10, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Aren't you glad you don't have to come to the altar every Sunday to get saved? Aren't you glad you don't have to get baptized every Sunday to get saved, be saved, to stay saved? I'm glad for the blood that cleanses us. Not only we believe in a prepared body, we believe in a perfect book, we believe in the precious blood, but we believe in a promised bridegroom. Jesus is coming. He said He was. The Bible said, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. We have a promised bridegroom that says He's going to come back. What happens when He comes back? Amen. Our loved ones, those that we've lost, those that's in the grave, amen, they're going to be raised uncorruptible. Isn't that a blessing? And then what happens? We which are alive and remain going to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. Yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. He's promised us that He's coming back. I don't know why that He's lingering. It may be because of His mercy. I don't know why He's lingering. Maybe someone, and I'm sure this is true, that last person's going to be saved. It's going to complete the body of Christ, and we're going home. Maybe somebody's going to get saved here tonight. And when they're saved, we're going to go home and be with Jesus. I don't know. But He promised me He was coming. And I believe that He is. Amen. We believe in a promised bridegroom. Then I want to say tonight, I believe in a provided salvation. If you look in verse 29, the Word of God said there, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the grace of God. Aren't you glad that we have a salvation tonight? Number one, it's free. Number two, it's offered to everyone. That's a great salvation, amen. It's offered to everyone. He provided that salvation by going to Calvary's cross. Oh, what a blessing that is. What a story we have to tell as a church. Amen. To go and preach Jesus Christ, Him crucified. To tell, I had she's not a teenager anymore. This lady's 21 years old, maybe 22 now. When I got home, Lord said, you've got a message. You need to listen to it. And hadn't been long, a year ago, I led this lady to the Lord over the telephone. And she called and she said, "Preacher Les, I need a little help." Said, "I got a friend wanting to know why Jesus died for him." Said, "I believe you could help me out a little bit. I need to tell them why Jesus died for them." I'm going to tell you why he died. He died because he loved us. And that's all I know. That's all I know. He died because he loved us. And I'm so thankful that he loved us, aren't you? We believe in a provided salvation. He provided it for everyone, not just a few. I'm glad that all that will come unto him, that scripture we read, all that would confess, those that would believe, can be saved. I'm so thankful for that. The Bible said, we're not of them who draw back unto perdition. Why do we not draw back? Because we believe to the saving of the soul. There's been many Monday mornings I get up and I say, "Lord, I just close my Bible and I'm just through." Many Monday mornings. Come home Sunday night, say, "Honey, I believe I've done all I can do." About 3 minutes later, the sweet Spirit of God comes and says, "No, your work's not over. There's a salvation to be preached. There's a Christ to be told about." We're not of those that draw back. We're those that believe to the saving of the soul. And church, it's about over. Jesus is soon to come. He's soon to come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you bow your heads with me? Would you think, can you remember the time that Jesus came into your heart? Do you know assuredly if you died tonight, that you'd go to heaven?